Amen. Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Just give the Lord a big hand clap this morning as we begin. We miss Pastor Bill this morning. He is out. I miss him when he's gone. I feel like he's a support when I'm up here, and it just feels better when he's here. But anyway, we're going to go this morning to the book of Acts, chapter number 13, and we're going to read a verse in chapter number 13, verse 13. Then we'll go over to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and read a few verses. And then we'll go to the book of 2 Timothy. And I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, from failure to achiever. From failure to achiever. Acts chapter 13, and in verse 13 it says, "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John," here talking about John Mark, "departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Now let's move over to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and let's read verses 35 through verse 41. "Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Now let's move over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read one verse there in verse number 11. "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Dear Lord, as we search your word this morning, I ask God for you to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and challenge us in our thinking, God, to become everything that you have called us to be. Let us do what you've called us to do, even if we have fallen and even if we have come short, God. We know, God, that you are a rewarder to those that will continually seek you and that will continually walking in your path. And I pray today, God, for you to anoint your word and speak to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say amen? I want to talk to us this morning that God is a God that takes you from being a failure and turns you into an achiever. One of the greatest things that God is that he continues to work with men and women despite their own limitations and despite their own failings. Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you when you failed and you made a decision to make bad decisions? But he just kept on believing in you and kept on recognizing that there was something great on the inside of you. Too often men and women do not allow God to complete what he starts in them or within them. What is it that makes the difference? Why are there some who seem to accomplish so much in their lives, and then there are those that seem like they don't accomplish much in their lives? Is it their family background. Maybe they come from a good family. They come from good crop. They come from good seed. Is it because they have the right last name? I say no, because having a good family growing up is something to be grateful for, but it is not a reliable indicator of accomplishments. High percentages of great men and great women have come from broken homes. You look at the story of Gideon. Gideon was anything from an accomplished family. He was from the least tribe. He was from the least family. And then he was even the least in his family. But the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, and he said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor, yet he's lying there in a wine press in fear of his life because he's afraid that he's going to be captured by the Midianites, and if he's captured, he's going to be killed. But the angel of God says, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon came from anything but from the greatest of backgrounds. If you're wealthy, maybe God uses those and those that are most accomplished in life or those that are wealthy. But if you look at men and women throughout history, you will find that some of the most accomplished men and women came from households that were average to below average means. And so wealth is not an accurate association with what it takes to make people successful in life. You could say, well, maybe it's opportunity. Maybe one person has a greater opportunity. You know, opportunity is a very peculiar thing. You can take two people with the same giftings and talents and resources, and you can look at their situations, and one person will see a tremendous opportunity, while another person will see absolutely nothing. Opportunity, therefore, lies in the eye of the beholder. You could say, well, maybe it's high morals. Maybe somebody that has high morals are those that are the most successful. I wish it were that simple, and I wish that were the key to life, but it's not, because I have known people with high morals that were low achievers, but I've also known scoundrels and rats who were high producers. And so that is not the answer to what it takes to be successful in your relationship and successful in life. You might say, well, it's the absence of hardship, because for every success who has avoided tragedy, I want to tell you, there's a Helen Keller who has overcame the difficulties of life. And so that can't be the answer. None of these elements, I believe, are the key. I believe that the greatest difference between average people and achieving people is their perception and their response to failure. You know, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is their amount of determination. What is it that takes me, that pushes me to give up and not succeed in life? It's my determination, and it's putting my eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of life. You see, one must always remember that the difficult takes time, but the impossible takes a little longer. Nothing is great in the beginning stages of when God first starts working in a man or woman's life. The man's prayer or the woman's prayer will be elementary, and his or her efforts will be clumsy, and they will be uncoordinated. His or her whole sense of walking with God will be spent in the shallows. But if a person refuses to give up and refuses to give in life, if his or her desire or determination and the sense of purpose will capture his or her emotions, then God has the ability to work in that person's life. Can you give God praise in this house this morning? Thomas Edison created the light bulb. Thomas Edison did not give up on his efforts to find an effective filament for the incandescent lamp. He did countless experiments with countless materials. As each failed, he would toss it out the window, and the pile reached the second story of his house, and eventually he sent men into many different countries such as Japan and South America and Asia and Jamaica and Burma in search of fibers and grasses as he tested his lab. One weary day on October 21st, 1879, after 13 months of repeated failures, he succeeded in his search for a filament that would stand the stress of electric current. This is how it happened. Casually picking up a bit of a lamp black, he mixed it with tar and rolled it into thin thread. And then the thought occurred to him, why not try carbonized cotton fiber? And for 5 hours, he worked. But each time it broke before he could remove the mold, and 2 spools thread were used. At last, a perfect strand emerged, only to be ruined while being placed in a glass tube. However, Edison refused to be defeated, and he worked nonstop for 2 days and 2 nights without sleep, and finally he managed to slip one of the carbonized threads into a sealed glass bulb. And when he turned on the current, he beheld a sight that he had worked on for a long time, and the bulb burned and it provided light. Nothing is very great in the early stages of a person's life, but it takes persistence and it takes desire, and the elements become the fuel that will fuel revivals and will refuel an energy and a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the beginning stages might not look great, but if you will just keep moving and just keep directioning your life to the Lord, you will find that there is an absolute authority in the kingdom of God. Now, in our story this morning, in John Mark's story, the whole series of scriptures that we read rise to the John Mark's story. He was the nephew of Barnabas. He was the son of Barnabas' sister. And in Acts chapter 13, John Mark became a man who quit when the difficulty of the missionary work settled in on him. Now the island of Cyprus lay behind them. And the Apostle Paul and his company were now advancing into the territory that would test even the strongest of men. Pamphylia lay to the south, and Cilicia lay to the east, and Lycia bordered them on the west. The Taurus Mountains were out in front of them, and Paul and Barnabas and John Mark had to endure the attack of Elymas, and a man who was a sorcerer, and the Bible said that he was full of the devil. And John Mark had watched in awe as the power of God had struck this man with blindness. And in Acts chapter 13 and 5, it indicates to us that John Mark was in the position of a minister. And in this context, the Greek word is a nautical term, which is the word hupraetes. It literally means under rower, a galley slave. He was a man who was an errand boy. He was a gopher. Perhaps this is one of the things that was being very upsetting to John Mark. Yet in front of them now lay the Taurus Mountains. The coastline was infested by pirates, and the mountains were home to many robbers, and the way was steep, and it was rugged, and it was full of wild animals, and it was full of lawless men. And this was going to be a very tough endangerment that they were putting their lives upon. But none of these things deterred Paul, because Paul was on a mission from God, and he knew that he had received a word from God, and he was willing to walk even through the wildernesses of life. You see, to surrender at this point would mean that he would have to give up to the pattern for the rest of his life. But it was at this same time that John Mark quit for one reason or another. Just when they needed John Mark the most, John Mark gave up. And Paul was apparently shocked at the desertion by John Mark. And there is no record of what was spoken, but John Mark was written off at this point as a quitter. He did not wait to test the difficulties, just the imagination of hardship got to John Mark. He did not throw himself into the whole work. He quit before he ever even got into the uncharted territory. And Paul viewed him as a renegade, and he looked upon him as one who was never to be worth anything in the kingdom of God. But there was something in the heart of Barnabas that refused to give up on John Mark. And in Acts chapter 15, it says that we move forward 2 years, and again, faced with a dilemma of what to do with John Mark, the Bible states that a very sharp contention arose between Paul and Barnabas over the welfare of John Mark. Now, I want us to consider this morning the plight of John Mark. Consider what his thoughts were. He could have decided that he was unimportant in the work of God. He could have felt that Paul had a personal vendetta against him. He could have decided that he had reached the potential that God had given for him for his life. I'm going to tell you, there are no shortcuts to a man or woman's life to becoming great for God. If a man tries to remove his disappointments and tries to remove the defeats and tries to remove the discouragements and the difficulties and the perplexities of his life, he is removing the finishing touch of God's hand upon his life. Too often, we allow the circumstances to place the finishing touches upon our lives. We allow bitter disappointments. We allow trials that are forced to endure the very dilemmas of life that forge and shape the character in such a way that nothing profitable ever comes from them. You look at Esau. Esau allowed God's refusal to finish him. Lot's wife allowed a backward glance to cement her to a place in history. Orpah traveled just a short distance toward her finish. The mixed multitude that left Egypt felt that they're finished with the pangs that in their hunger and in their stomach for the flesh pots of bygone days. But to be an unfinished person, to be a person who turns failure into achievement, to be a person who turns defeat into victory, to be a person who is constantly seeking the hand of God in his life is what I want to be in life. And so one might ask, what is determination? How do I get determination to go beyond my own failures and to go beyond my own mistakes? I think it's illustrated very well in the life of a boxer who once said at the end of the 19th century, a boxer named Gentleman Jim Corbett. He held the heavyweight championship title of the world for 5 consecutive years. And when someone asked him what the key was, he answered with these words. He said, "Fight one more round. Fight one more round." He said, when your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, he said, make a decision in your mind that you're going to fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift them, when your hands are so tired that you can hardly work, you need to make a decision in your life and your relationship with God that I'm going to fight one more round. I'm not going to let the problems and the obstacles and the confusion and the discouragement and the defeat and the despair and the depression and all of those things overcome in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I've made a decision that I'm going to fight one more round. Can you give him praise in this house? When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black, you need to fight one more round. When you are so tired and you wish your opponent would crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep, you need to make a decision to fight one more round. Always remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped because he is always battling in the next round. Amen. You see, there are endless ways by which God helps shape the souls of a man. For some, all it takes is a look, as with Zacchaeus. For some, all it takes is for them to be blinded by the light, as it was with Paul. For some, all it takes is a midnight confrontation, as it was with Nicodemus. For some, all it takes is a noonday conversation, as it was with the woman at the well. You see, the only growth worth investing is that which grows slowly. Great people are made in stages, not overnight. People who have labored to destroy diseases that crippled man, most of them faced defeat at every turn of the road. But in spite of the lack of success, they just kept on pursuing in the labs, reaching for the answers that would defeat the disease in which they were trying to find something to prevent that disease. You see, some would lose their wives. Louis Pasteur, Robert Koch, and Max Gottlieb all lost something in trying to find the answers to the problems of their diseases. And their wives were inflected by plagues they sought to kill. Some would find in later years that they had been alone and abandoned because of their efforts to help someone else. You see, it's not what a man keeps, but rather it is what he gives that makes him great. It is not what a man possesses, but rather what possesses the man that makes him great. When a man says, "I don't want to hurt," he is placing the finishing touches on his life. When we say, "I don't want to be in loneliness," he is placing the finishing touches upon his life. When we say, "I don't want defeat," what is happening is I am placing the finishing touch upon my life. But aren't you thankful this morning that there is a process of recovery? There is only one road that returns back to the way of the Master, and along that road are three stopping places. There is the consciousness of the fall, and there is the repentance for the failure, and then the final is a deepened consecration to the Master. In John Mark's glorious recovery this morning, the last scripture that we read was written 17 years later after the confrontation between Paul and Barnabas. There were two different stages in the life of John Mark. Sometimes a very poor looking specimen will turn out much better than we have anticipated. Sometimes it is the young man that over the course of his life, time has a way of establishing and developing great qualities within that person. I'm so grateful this morning that when I came to the Lord, God didn't see me as I was, but He saw me for what I would be.
He didn't judge me for the sin that I was living in when I came to the Lord, but he saw me for what I was going to become. And I'm so glad this morning that sitting upon these seats today, there are numerous people here this morning that you were living in a life of sin. You were living in a life of confusion. You thought your life was defeated. You felt like throwing in the towel and giving up and hanging it up on life. But I am so glad today that you are walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you are being fulfilled, and you have been set free, and you have been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you give him praise in this house? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, life and character have so many sharp turnings that you can never calculate the direction that ultimately will be taken. The opinion of Paul had been a very uncomfortable one. Very compatible. Can't even get the word out. He concluded that John Mark was one of those men who placed a hand to the plow, but yet he made a decision to look back. How much of John Mark's progress came because of an uncle who still believed in him and still encouraged him and still loved him? Or how much of his progress came because of the contemptuous refusal from Paul? You see, those are questions that remain unanswered, but I am willing to set forth to you this morning that every man needs a Barnabas in his life. We all need somebody that will encourage us and will help lift us up so that when we fall down in life, we have someone that is there to speak life into us and tell you that you are an overcomer, that you have defeated, you are great in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Business professors Gary Hamel and C.K. Prelad have written about an experience or an experiment that was conducted with a group of monkeys. It is a vivid story of failure. Four monkeys were placed in a room that had a tall pole in the center of that room. Suspended from the top of that pole was a bunch of bananas. And one of the hungry monkeys started climbing up the pole because it wanted to eat that banana. But just as he reached to grab the banana, the monkey was doused with water. Squealing, he would scamper down the pole, and he would abandon his attempt to feed himself. Each monkey would make a similar attempt. They would climb the pole, and each time they would get to the top of the pole and try to grab the banana, they would be drenched with cold water. And after making several attempts, they finally gave up. And then researchers removed one of the monkeys from the room and would replace that monkey with another monkey. As the newcomer would begin to climb the pole, the other three would then grab that monkey and pull him back down to the ground and would not allow him to climb the pole to go after the banana because they already knew what was going to happen. And after making several attempts, they would just give up. As the newcomer began to climb the pole, the other three would grab him, pull him down to the ground, and after trying to climb the pole several times and being dragged down by the other monkeys, he finally gave up and never again attempted to climb the pole again. The researchers replaced the original monkeys one by one, and each time a new monkey was brought in, he would be grabbed down by the others as he would try to reach the bananas. In time, the room was filled with monkeys who had never received a cold shower, and none of them would climb the pole, but none of them knew why. You see, unfortunately, people who have gotten used to failure can be just like those monkeys. They make the same mistakes time and time again and again and again. And their neighbors and friends around them become their greatest liability. That is why every one of us needs a Barnabas in our lives. What the monkey did not know was that after the fourth monkey had neared the top of the pole, that the water had been turned off. And the fifth monkey would have gotten the bananas if he just would have overcome the monkey business. You know something? God has an ability to create. He has the ability to create an intercessor. He has the ability to create the passion of a prayer warrior. But you cannot give up and quit too soon, because your failure must become an achievement, and your defeat and your victory. I want to close with this story this morning as our praise team returns. For 6 arduous, lonely, grueling months, he tunneled through granite, limestone, and shale, digging his way into the heart of a mountain. And for every outward appearance, the play in the creeks and streams below this point, all the geological fingers pointed that somewhere in this mountain, deep in the inner recesses, contained the precious gold-bearing quartz. But after long months of drudgery and sacrifice and struggle had yielded even not a trace of the long sought for metal, the prospector buried his pick, he buried his candle and his dynamite in discouragement at the extreme end of the tunnel. He therefore abandoned his dreams, he abandoned his hopes, he abandoned his disappointment, and he gave in to bitter disappointment. Years passed. With amazing swiftness, and an Eastern mining company was aware of the progress that had been made with the particular mine, and they found the claim abandoned and placed notice that it would be reopened. And in the reopening process, the timbers that had served as supports were replaced, and the fallen rock had been removed, and the company reached the end of the tunnel, and there they found the rusty pick and the time-worn traces of the candle and the dynamite that remained uncovered. And the excavation started, and 6 inches under the granite in which those men had been digging, gold was discovered. I shared that story to share with you this. It might look like that you're not making a lot of progress. It might look like that you're walking this thing called life, and it just seems like that it's just bitter disappointment. And it seems like you're in despair and you're defeated. Can I challenge you today? If you will just walk one more round, and if you'll just keep on digging, and if you'll just keep on putting the plow to the efforts and go to work and do what God has called you to do, I promise you that you will find what God has called you to do, and you will be what God has called you to be. If you will just keep walking and just keep on moving and just keep on listening to the voice of the Lord in your life this morning. Let us stand in this building. want to tell you this morning, God loves you. God cares for every detail in your life. I don't know where you stand in your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, but I do know this, is that one day we will stand before our Lord. And this morning, if you are here and you are struggling in life, you're struggling in your relationship with Jesus Christ, or maybe you have no relationship with Christ at all, I ask this morning that you would step out in faith. Step out from where you are as an act of faith. And we want to pray for you today. Dear Lord, as we close out this service this morning, God, I pray that if there be anyone here that needs to make a decision for salvation today, God, that they would step out from where they are and not go another day, but they would make this their day of salvation, to make it right with you. God, just move across this audience of people this morning and let your Spirit be manifested, Lord, and just let your Spirit be with this person or these people, God. Lord, right now, I just ask, God, in the name of Jesus, in your precious name, we ask and pray these things.